Welcome back to Innovation, and we're going to spend some time now talking about GWiz. And joining me in the studio is Michelle Booz and Amanda Schaefer. They are with GWiz Eastern South Dakota chapter. So let's start with what GWiz is.
So GWiz means Graduate Women in Science. And we are one of the oldest graduate women in science organizations in the country. Okay. We were founded in 1921 at Cornell University and incorporated or became a nonprofit in 1922 and got our first chapter in Madison in 1922. So,
okay, Michelle. So thank you for being here. I appreciate you taking the time and coming on the program. So let's talk a little bit about your background.
Okay.
And how you became interested in science and what you do.
Okay.
As well. How's that?
Sure. We'll start. Let's see. I always was interested in science, always liked science class, always tested well in science on those standardized tests, and then went to school and undergraduate, actually back east where I'm from New Hampshire, and went through biology and chemistry and all of that. And then I got the idea to go to graduate school, and that's how I ended up in South Dakota. I went to USD and went through their basic biomedical science program.
Okay.
And so in our chapter, the South Dakota chapter started in 2010. And in 2011, they offered a little contest for a membership for GWiz. And so I wrote in my little paragraph, and I got a membership. And from there, I really worked hard with the chapter, and now am part of the national organization, too. So
as president, is this your full-time job, or do you do other things in science?
Graduate.
See where I'm leading you down this path?
Our organization is entire volunteer.
Okay.
And so this is my other full-time job, I guess. I've done research, so I did work up at the Sanford Research Center for the past 3 years. And then in the fall, I made a big career change and now work at a clinical lab at the Sanford Hospital right down the street.
Okay.
So what I actually do is I work in the Sioux Falls only infertility clinic. So I work in that lab. So it's a pretty neat job. I really enjoy it.
We'll go back to that. But let's introduce Amanda Schaefer. Amanda, thanks for being here. And you serve as treasurer of the organization.
Yes, currently I serve as our treasurer. And in the past, I have also served as our chapter's president.
Okay. And tell me a little bit about your background with science.
Sure. Well, I'm a Sioux Falls native, and I'm happy to be back in Sioux Falls and working full-time. Much like Michelle, I think I've always had an interest in science. As a child, I always enjoyed looking at things and wondering, well, I wonder how that works. Could I try to figure it out? And asking those kind of curiosity-based questions. And when I went to undergrad, I discovered I had a real passion for science, in particular in understanding how the human body works. So thinking about anatomy and physiology, things like endocrinology as well, thinking about hormones. currently I work at Sanford Research in one of our cancer biology labs, and I'm excited to announce I'm going back to school for graduate school in the fall. So this has been a whirlwind, and I'm ready to start the next part. And I'm very thankful for the Graduate Women in Science that have helped me to kind of develop some good leadership and other skills that I think have helped me to not only identify what I want to do in the future, but I think will be very beneficial as I start my next step in my career.
And what do you want to do?
I'm going for a master's in genetic counseling.
Okay. That is a gift.
I think it'll be a good challenge, a good combination of understanding not only the science of genetics, but being able to explain it to people. It can be very complicated, and also can be a little scary. There can be some unknowns. So part of genetic counseling is also being able to help support people and be there as a listening individual.
Okay. And also joining us is Megan Quast. Megan, thanks for being here. I appreciate it. And Megan is Vice President of Programming for GWiz and Chair of the Conference Fundraising. So thanks for being here. And we're talking a little bit about your personal experience in science.
Oh, how far back are we going?
How far back do you want to go?
Well, I would definitely say that science didn't completely spark my interest in like elementary or middle school, but definitely once I hit high school, and especially I took courses like chemistry, anatomy, biology. Those were really interesting to me, and I wanted to learn more. And so I went to South Dakota State University, go Jacks, got my bachelor's in biology and biotechnology. Okay. I learned research under Dr. Rambo Joe for a year, and I learned about cyanobacteria. And then I wanted to continue growing in my knowledge of research, so I pursued my master's at SDSU again under Dr. Feng Li. I learned about influenza D, which is an animal type of influenza. And because I've only been out of school for a couple of years now, so I've now I currently work at Avera McKinnon, and I do cancer research over there with Dr. Brian Leland Jones and their team.
Okay. And exciting stuff. So it's no secret on this program, I'm a mother of three daughters, and so I get a little geeked out about women in science and how do you get those young people to want to further their career mm-hmm. in science. So what is your advice to parents with daughters on how do you get them convinced that they can do this or there's mm-hmm. something for them here in South Dakota?
Well, one of the biggest things that we do in our chapter we do a lot of educational outreach. And so we are out there with kids and with their families teaching them that science isn't just reading and writing. Like, you really get to do a lot of cool stuff. And so I think showing kids and showing girls especially that women can become scientists and being out there, and they say, oh, you're a scientist? Like, yeah, we're scientists. We're in the lab. We're doing lots of cool stuff. And then showing them that it's not really hard for them. I think a lot of girls are told, oh, you're not smart enough, or you know, this is too hard for you. It's like, no, science on the whole is very easy to learn. There are some really hard aspects of it and understanding your data, but you know, we have high school students that come through our labs and we teach them everything that we do. And so I think it's increasing accessibility to what we do and being out there to show them, yeah, this is what a scientist looks like.
Anything else to add, the other two?
Definitely what Michelle said, especially there's a lot more outreach programs going on. I've definitely told the many students that we've had come to our booths that when I was learning about science and going to different programs, though I only got to go to some of them that were especially women-focused until once I got into like junior year, senior year of high school. So, and then now, because they have programs like out here, the Sanford Research Center does things like It's All About Science, and then also has the all-day science event. I can't remember what it's called right now.
Oh, Discovery Days.
Discovery Days, yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then we host, for Girl Scouts in the fall, we host about almost over 200 Girl Scouts now, a little mini science camp where they all can come in and play with microscopes and build stuff and trap. I think we did Ghostbusters this past fall, and the kids had a blast building like ghost traps and goo and teaching them all about women in science too, like a historical aspect as well.
Okay, so you're hosting the organization's national conference in June, and this is the 96th annual conference and the first time in South Dakota. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about your audience, how many people coming in, some of the details.
Well, so let's see, how many people coming in? So we have almost 1,000 members across the world, so we are international, and so we're hoping to get a bunch of members in. It is a little tough to get to South Dakota for some people, but we're encouraging. We have some very strong Midwest chapters. So Minnesota has a huge one. Iowa has a really strong one. Colorado. And so we're really hoping that since they're a car drive away, we'll just come on. You just share a hotel room, share a car, you're ready to go. But we usually get anywhere from 30 to 50 GWIS members, depending on where it is in the country. For our audience, It is science focused, but the topics we're talking about and the speakers are more career based. So we're going to talk about networking. We're going to talk about developing your career. We're going to talk about communication. So I think a lot of young students, a lot of young faculty, or a lot of people early in their careers would actually really benefit from coming and listening to our speakers.
And is your organization mostly younger women?
It's a really good breadth, actually. we have one of our longest members was over 50 years. And then we have graduate students, we have undergraduates, early faculty, tenure faculty, industry. I mean, it's a wide breadth of age ranges and disciplines.
Okay. And did you want to talk a little bit about some of the speakers, some of the events?
Ooh. there's a lot going on. So our conference is June 15th through the 17th. And on Thursday, there's two events. One is like the National Council's meeting. Or if, I was going to say, because if you're not a GWIS member and you're not part of the National Council, you usually don't go attend that one. But we have something really super fun. You can go be a part of the South Dakota Biotech Association Showcase, which is going to be at 6 p.m.
Yep, after, on yep. Thursday.
Mm-hmm. And then on Friday, we partnered up with the South Dakota Business
Innovation Research Group.
I just know the acronyms SBIR. And they are actually doing a proposal preparation workshop on Friday, June 16th, which that'll take place at the Holiday Inn from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And it's only $50, but we are potentially getting a discount from EBSCOR if you're a South Dakota woman. So that's really cool. And then we're also, since we're having so many terrific speakers come in, we're going to have a meet and greet on that day too at the Museum of Visual Materials at 6 p.m. on Friday, June 16th. And then on Saturday is the big day. That's the conference. It's from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Washington Pavilion. And then afterwards, we'll have a banquet, as well as our keynote speaker, who's Rebecca Johnson. And that is also at the Washington Pavilion. And that'll start at 6 p.m. And I don't know, what time are they kicking us out at?
Oh, I think midnight.
Midnight. So it could be a while.
So the women in science could get a little crazy and stay out late.
Yeah.
Right?
Scientists like to talk.
Yeah. Sometimes this is the one time a year we get to see each other in person. Like all of our meetings are usually on the web just because we can't, you know, we're mm-hmm. all over the place. And so this is the one time a year everyone kind of gets together and chats and talks about everything.
And when you say that you're going to really focus on communicating as a scientist, what does that mean? Because sometimes you got to come on programs like this and explain it to people like me, mm-hmm. right? And so what is your advice in how to best communicate?
I think the first step is definitely to practice. And this is a great opportunity for us to be able to practice some communication skills. But if, say, you're a graduate student or an early career professional and you are trying to explain maybe some complicated scientific topics to people, the first step is to just practice. It's going to take some time for you to be able to explain things in a way that people of all audiences can understand. And that's one of the things we want to focus on at our Saturday symposium. Our speakers include Dr. Isaiah Henkel, who is the founder of The Cheeky Scientist, which is an organization that tries to get scientists to join industry. And so he's helping people to develop skills that'll be helpful in industry settings. We have Dr. Elizabeth Travis, who is a physician at MD Anderson Cancer Center. She's going to be talking a little bit about career development and how one advocates for themselves. How do you negotiate salaries and do those types of things? And our third speaker, which we're really excited about, is Dr. Amy Elliott. She's a local, mm-hmm. and
she's been on this program before.
She's awesome.
Yes,
she's so excited.
She's so great. So she's also going to be talking a little bit more in particular about and collaboration, and she's a great person to learn how one can reach different audiences and really tailor what they're talking about to their specific audiences to help those collaborations happen. As scientists, we're seeing there's a lot more collaboration that's happening between different labs, different institutions, but also that we as scientists are starting to connect more with people outside of our scientific realm. And this is going back to that communication. How do you communicate with people who aren't in science? And she's going to be a great person to learn that from, being that she is a scientist, but she also deals with people in other worlds, people in health policy and government, and people who live and work in communities that their research is trying to focus on.
Right, and explaining your research study to somebody that you may want to enroll as well.
Yes,
and you need to be able to explain what you're looking for and that you'll do no harm.
Exactly.
Right? So you said, too, when we were emailing back and forth, that you wanted to talk about the science that you do in South Dakota and
sure.
in this area.
We do a lot, actually. Well, of course, every university does. So personally, my PhD is in reproductive endocrinology. So I studied how estrogen affects the cardiovascular system. Estrogen is one of those hormones that they keep finding things it does. And they're like, I didn't know it did that. And so then I did research at Sanford in a lung lab there. And I spent 3 years there and got a paper published on a transgenic mouse that we made, which is pretty cool. And then I decided I kind of needed a change. Research, it's not easy. It never was easy, but it's kind of feels like it's 1,000 times harder now because of the funding cuts and the competition. And I was pretty burnt out. I'd been doing research for about a decade. So I really wanted a change. And this opportunity came up in this clinical lab over at the Advanced Reproductive Lab at the Sanford Hospital. The director there was a colleague of my PhD advisor, and so they were connected. And then she's like, hey, call me. There's this opportunity.
Keep going.
There's this opportunity. And so I took a jump at it. And it's really amazing the things that they do there. Everything we do was first done as basic science. And then we apply it in the clinic. And we not only help, we help couples become parents. And that's pretty rewarding.
All right. Well, I want to thank the three of you for taking time and coming on the program.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.